Light Transitions Radio is a dialogue about personal and planetary change. Acknowledging that we are all at unique points on a continuum of change, Light Transitions Radio seeks out innovators and creators, engages them in spontaneous and deep dialogues, and shares these conversations with the world. Light Transitions Radio's mission is to help individuals and communities achieve positive transformation. Hello and welcome to Light Transitions Radio. My name is Robert Davis, and I'd like to thank you so much for joining us today. Today's an exciting day on many levels, and one of those levels corresponds with the interview I have with Laura Eisenhower. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
And what I would like to do is read a little bit about Laura's past that leads us right to the moment. Laura is a cosmic mythologist, global alchemist, and clairvoyant healer, and is the great-granddaughter of Dwight David Eisenhower. She is on a profound mission to reveal our true origins connected with the Magdalene and Gaia Sophia energies of love and wisdom, and works to liberate us from the military-industrial complex, the archonic systems and false power structures. These forces connect many dots that are coming into our awareness now more than ever as our solar system aligns with the galactic plane in 2011-2012. And Laura, we are there right now.
Yes, we are.
So looking at all the different levels of potential discussion, what do you feel is the most salient, the most vital at this moment in time, right on this day, to share with us?
Well, what's most vital, I think, is finding some level of detachment, because we just had this election. You know, everybody's going out to vote, putting their hopes and their, you know, visions into, you know, our government still. And I just encourage people to, you know, just become a little bit more detached from the matrix and much more grounded in one's inner work and inner process, because that's really where the ascension is happening. It's not anything that's outside of us. It's not anything that we're going to experience in an institution or government or, you know, really anything. It's an initiation on a personal level. So it's really important to pay attention to the things that are coming at us, the deceptions and false flags, and, you know, just some of the lies and cover-ups that are still continuing, and to start to pull one's energy away from that and focusing on, you know, just truth within the self and what we can share amongst each other, and to really unite and unify, because most of these wars and false flags are really to conquer and divide, and the best thing that we can do is do the opposite and really just come together and be in the now, be present with each other, and raise our frequency to a really high level of integrity to initiate ourselves into a higher dimension, because that's what it's going to take.
Were you this open and alive when you were the young granddaughter of Dwight Eisenhower?
Well, I'm great-granddaughter.
Great-granddaughter, yes.
Yeah, I've always been this way. I just haven't had the opportunity to really talk. But when I didn't have the opportunity to talk, I was like a volcano that was ready to blow. So I've always had a lot to share. And when I've ever had the chance to, I've been just like I am. But I'm more used to being silent. So in the last 2 years, I've really had the chance to express. And so it feels natural, but I can't say that I'm used to it, because I have, definitely been silenced and ostracized for my views. And now I'm much more accepted because people are starting to really wake up to what I'm talking about.
How do you view the liberation process and the freeing process as viewing it from a collective perspective? And then also, I think we're going to end up in the individual sector as far as really what the process is all about. But just to see how it's moving for you and how you see it transforming, what type of modeling or grounded modeling of institutions or systems do you see coming online as a result of the consciousness that's now changing?
Well, I think, you know, it's a lot about deprogramming and understanding what's been targeted. You know, sacred union's been targeted. Our inner relationship with the masculine and feminine within ourselves has been targeted. You know, we're thrown into a very low consciousness with what we see in the media. And so, I mean, I think it's really about moving away from that and coming together in communities. You know, Lisa Renee has an online community that's wonderful. And, you know, when it's really about empowering the individual and having everybody share their truth and, you know, their information in a way that's non-judgmental to other people's viewpoints, then we're really, you know, creating oneness, because oneness to me is diversity in harmony. And it's about, you know, love and respect and appreciating other people's viewpoints. And, you know, recognizing that we each have a unique role, but we are connected in spirit. So I think online, you know, we're seeing in social media and, you know, some things that people have pulled together, you know, just much more empowerment of the individual in order to create that oneness, rather than, you know, the guru type thing or the messiah complexes that lead people to want to be, you know, worshipped or looked up to. I think that's all dying out, and people are much more into the unified field and recognizing each other as equals and finding more balance in the way that we, you know, run our energy and work together. And that's the way it should be. I mean, I'm seeing that, but of course the antithesis of that is also, you know, coming in to counteract it. But I think that true awakening is what we're seeing when we see more unification, more balance, more equality, and just love and respect for the individual, recognizing that we're all divine beings. We all have power. We all, you know, can reach the same level of consciousness.
Yes, and yes, and yes. Well, Laura, as far as your initiatives, then, besides just, you know, being present, which I think is probably the, you know, the ultimate initiative, and then looking at how your works are manifesting in the world, what are your outreaches right now as far as your offering at this point in time? Are you doing specific webinars or anything that would be along those lines of offering?
Well, I'm going to be a faculty member and teacher at EXO University that Alfred Lambermont Weber has pulled together with the help of some other friends and colleagues. And so I'll be doing a course each month, I think about a 90-minute video. I'll also be speaking at the Star Knowledge Conference on 12-12-12. I have an event this weekend, 11-11, here local in Ventura where I live. And so, you know, I just, and next year I've signed up for a few conferences, and I, you know, put out videos, and I have a radio show each week to bring on guests and hear their viewpoints and stories and experiences. So I try and keep a steady flow of, you know, putting it out there. And I, you know, like to lay low every once in a while too, just to go inward and make sure that I'm, you know, really, you know, doing my inner work and processing a lot of the information coming into me as well. So,
It sounds like a very wise path. It's a very heartful and wise and seeing and sharing. So it's this lineage of the Eisenhowers. You know, when you were young, what type of socialization process did you feel in the context of that environment?
Well, it was a little bit different than my mother, who had Secret Service, and, you know, she stayed a lot at the White House. Her grandfather was president when she was, you know, in her upper teens. So for my generation, it was a little bit more removed from all that. We, you know, it was a pretty normal childhood, except for, you know, family gatherings and, you know, just when a lot of that energy and just, you know, the person Dwight D. Eisenhower as a family member versus him as a historical figure was sort of in my, you know, awareness, like, oh, wow, you know, this is somebody that I'm related to. But at the same time, wow, you know, this is the mark that he made. And, you know, here are some of the events that we get invited to because of it. And some of the socialization, you know, particularly when we moved to D.C., you know, I found like, wow, finding myself surrounded by senators and world leaders and news reporters and, you know, very influential people that, you know, for, you know, many of them I could see through. And I was starting to, you know, really sense at a young age, you know, that there is some sort of maybe not so positive force working in the system and in the government. And then a lot of my childhood premonitions and everything, you know, I was starting to, you know, connect the dots about the military-industrial complex and what we're really up against. So the socialization for me was being an observer and, you know, really seeing things through my third eye and not being so much just a family member, but, you know, somebody that was really observing the family line and seeing how my mission, you know, was specifically brought into this family line for a reason. And then, you know, my whole childhood and life has been about developing my mission and utilizing the Eisenhower family and the history of, you know, his presidency as a catalyst and also a force to, you know, find both the positive and negatives, to transmute a lot of the negatives and to empower a lot of the positives. And also just, you know, to be true to my own mission. I'm very, you know, unique with my own thing, but, you know, it connects to Eisenhower in the sense that he gave a warning about the military-industrial complex, and I'm kind of here to sort of dismantle it or expose the deeper layers of it. So socialization was interesting because it wasn't just social. I've been busy at work, you know, recognizing my mission and why I chose this family line since the age of six. So I've been in deep, deep processes trying to figure it out, trying to be a neutral family member while also being very eccentric and maybe the black sheep that is willing to go further than they want to go as far as, you know, ETs and UFOs and the deeper the hidden history.
What about the UFOs? What specifically, besides the Roswells and, you know, all the kind of Project Blue Booky stuff that's gone on that is kind of out there at the regular level of information, it seems as though it's obvious, even on what's been presented, that there must be bodies somewhere and there must be ships somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, during that whole period, World War II, moving into just, you know, Ike becoming president was, you know, just a lot surrounding the UFO thing. All the three-letter organizations were set up in the Truman administration to begin, you know, the cover-up or the management of what it means to be in contact with these extraterrestrials. The treaties have been in effect since, oh gosh, early on in the Second World War. They originated with Churchill, Aleister Crowley, and Hitler, actually, and this is what Lisa Renee's research has revealed. So I can't, you know, prove any of it, but I absolutely think that she's got profound information. And so from there, it went to Roosevelt, and from there, the treaties moved to Eisenhower to be renewed. And by that time, a lot of the controls of the Illuminati had already infected or infiltrated the government. So, you know, we hear about more than one possible visitation that he had. So I've been researching this a lot. I can't prove anything based on family secrets or anything handed down to me because I'm in this family, which people are always curious about. But this is just my own path because I was recruited to go off planet to a Mars colony, which connects to Alternative 3, which was something established in the Eisenhower administration. So once I was involved in that, it helped me lift the lid and look deeper and deeper into the treaties and the government relations with extraterrestrials and why there would be a Mars colony and what that was all about. So I've just been uncovering everything. But, you know, there's always gray areas, and I never really have fixed beliefs about it because I wasn't there. And unless I'm there, I can't say for certain, but I express and talk about what makes the most sense and what seems beyond a reasonable doubt to be truth. But I give, you know, people, you know, I don't state it in stone. I just encourage people to research and be flexible and open to what I share. So supposedly he also met with the beings from Venus and then the Palladians and the Greys, as we heard about. So wow. We know that there's definitely contact with extraterrestrials and government. Or these are really wild rumors that are, you know, being told by numerous whistleblowers and people, which I don't think are rumors. There's just too much being written, too much that has been said. And so I just take it as truth and sort of wrap a lot of my research around these findings.
You speak of a positive timeline. What does that mean to you? Yes.
Well, it's really the organic ascension timeline. It's the blossoming of human consciousness. You know, humanity has sort of been in a cosmic test ever since the tree of knowledge was eaten from, I guess you could say, in a metaphorical sense. You know, we've been learning the lessons of duality and really learning about good and evil and what that means to us. And really, our free will is in making a choice between the two. I wouldn't say our free will is in having a whole lot of control over our lives because we're all sort of plugged into the system and many of us don't want to be. So I wouldn't say that that's the real free will, but the free will is in our choice between, you know, who we are and how we choose to carry our energy and where we choose to give our power. So to me, the positive timeline is empowerment. It's the power of the human spirit, the power of our higher spiritual abilities, the power of manifestation and our creative energy and, you know, all the stuff that we're made of, the divine blueprint, you know, our true primordial parent, source energy, creator, and just our connection to the goddess and the divine feminine that's been exiled and misunderstood. So, you know, really understanding that and finding wholeness and recognizing that we're divine beings and moving away from these control systems and, you know, religions that, you know, teach us to worship rather than embody, you know, the message and become the Christ consciousness, you know, to me is our steps to really be walking on a positive timeline. Anything else I feel is sort of playing with us and toying with us and manipulating us to be, you know, dumbed down and less than we are. And we get this assault from all different directions. I think there's a lot of well-intentioned spirituality groups and some religions, you know, many members are well-intentioned. So I'm not here to bash anybody, but there has been a massive infiltration and a lot of deceptions that have been seeded in our ancient history so that we're very disempowered today in this day and age when this, you know, window period of this 2012 period is around. So, you know, the positive timeline is the most real. But then there's artificial timelines that have been created by these intruder races, what we might call the reptilians and the grays or the Luciferian agenda. And so the positive timeline is, you know, being able to divert or transcend those artificial timelines and possible realities and really get on track with, you know, our divine origins and who we are and what we're really made of and how we can walk the positive timeline into a future that, you know, returns us to our universal family and lifts the veils and allows us, you know, to be free of the time loop and the cycle of death and reincarnation, you know, so that we can be, you know, spirits that are free to journey into the physical realm and out again without, you know, this veil that keeps us trapped in these cycles that we call the time loop or the wheel of necessity that in this year is actually coming to a close. These intruder races that want to keep us trapped and unable to ascend. So it's important to understand what the positive timeline is. It's not a hard thing to be on, but it takes commitment, focus, and dedication, and you know, a key, you know, a very sharp mind to be able to differentiate fact from fiction, deception from truth. So I empower the positive timeline to help steer people away from some of these traps.
You know, where do you sign up? Where do you sign up?
Well, I mean, it's just an inward commitment, really. And then, you know, I think everything, once a person really devotes themselves and just declares to themselves, okay, I'm devoted to the positive timeline and to the ascension path and committed to it, whatever it takes. I think, you know, when we make those statements to ourselves, everything from there on, you know, supports that. Our actions, our words, the people we draw into our lives, the things that we're attracted to, the things that resonate. I think it amplifies it and helps it stand out so that we're, you know, guided to, you know, continue to expand on that path rather than, you know, get led astray. So, I mean, you know, same thing with devoting or committing to a relationship. It gives you that inner strength to, you know, stay on track and stay present and be a good partner. So to me, you know, our existence is a relationship with creation. And, you know, we can commit to being on a path that can lead us to ultimate liberation and freedom if we so choose. But it means, you know, we have to be prepared to learn the lessons and have the wisdom to not fall into victimhood and to be able to, you know, get the message and utilize the pain body as a messenger and really do the inner work to transmute and transform.
Yes. Yes, again. So looking back at the last, you know, 5 minutes of that, do you have that written down in any type of representational form? Because that was such a great synthesis and the synopsis of so many layers and done so beautifully. So it was something I was hoping I could reread at some point in the future.
Oh, well, that I write a lot. I wouldn't say that big chunk is written anywhere, but, you know, maybe once I get this link, I can transcribe it.
That would be wonderful. And I would post that, you know, as well.
Thank you.
So looking at the elements then of esoteric cosmology and global alchemy, the global alchemy, again, since everything is more or less interconnected with the other parts of these these particular call-outs that you're involved with, global alchemy and the noosphere and what's occurring in that realm. Do you have to share any thoughts?
Where are we as far as our global alchemy is concerned?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think it comes down to the individual. On a collective level, I really feel that we haven't gone as far as, or we're not exactly where I feel we should be. But I'm not here to, you know, say that things aren't in divine perfection either. I mean, everything is where it should be, of course. But I guess I expected, you know, more consciousness, more awakening, less attention on the royal family and the Queen's Jubilee, less attention on some of the things that have clearly proven to be quite malevolent and not, you know, the most positive forces on the planet that people are still eating up and, you know, looking up to, which is a bit shocking. You know, a lot of different things, I guess, are not happening that I thought would be happening around this year. But global alchemy to me is really, you know, merging and creating, you know, a unification of the dark and the light. Because so many people are divided. They're either Luciferians or they're goddess worshippers or they, you know, worship Yahweh or they're just Jesus freaks. And I think we should just embrace all those archetypes and all those deities and recognize that we're made of all of them. And it's the people, it's the humans and the fallen angelic realms that have created wars about this. But if we go to the higher aspects of all these deities, beings and archetypes, you know, they're from the one source and the ability to unify them and bring them all together is in our power. But if we choose not to, then we're the ones creating separation. We're the ones creating duality. And so all these religions and different groups and institutions that divide themselves based on who they choose to worship or what their belief systems are is contradicting and counteracting what I think the true message is of any spiritual being, which is love, forgiveness, compassion, and to treat others how you want to be treated, which often means, you know, live and let live, and but don't harm anybody. And so as far as global alchemy goes, I think it has a lot to do with people owning their wholeness and recognizing all aspects of themselves and bringing it into balance so that the higher self can, you know, run the show, but no aspect is being rejected or denied either. And I think that, you know, finding true balance and recognizing that we're made of everything, the Anunnaki, you know, we have all these, you know, dimensional energies and frequencies and archetypes within us that, you know, we have to find that harmony within ourselves so that we can emit that frequency and bring this lower density into the same kind of vibration that the higher dimensions are, which aren't at war, which aren't in duality. And that to me is what creates the alchemy. It's, you know, turning lead into gold. It's turning the radiation, the chemtrails and all these assaults into something of a tool that can allow us to transform because it becomes a catalyst. It's showing us something, a future that we don't want, so it inspires us to act rather than suffer and become victims and become, you know, poisoned by this, because we're moving into a higher dimension that can handle these frequencies. But when we attach ourselves to them too much and we get angry and we start to suffer because of it, you know, we're not trusting in our ability to transmute. And that's the whole nature of alchemy, is it can do that. But if our consciousness doesn't take charge and doesn't believe in itself, it'll be very easy to get stuck in the mud, I guess you could say.
The choices. There's a lot of choices through the process. And, you know, to get to the point where there's a choiceless awareness. So it's an interesting path.
Right. You know, I mean, it's almost a choice just between kind of being asleep or unconscious or really, you know, paying attention. And then when one pays attention, like you said, you know, there's a point where there's nothingness, the zero point energy, the fool, you know, it's the fool card in the tarot where everything just, you know, just becomes that zero. In the now, you know, we embody all of it. But the balance, you know, is only achieved through the higher mind, you know, because the ego creates duality. It's either right or wrong, good or bad. But the higher mind is able to neutralize everything and bring it into balance. And that way the dark forces, you know, aren't abolished, because you can't really abolish it, but they're put in their place, and they're in a place where they're not running the show, but they're utilized as a regenerative force of darkness rather than a corrupt form of darkness, because we've got lost in the illusion and we've given our power away. Because vampires or any dark energy doesn't connect to source anymore. It requires feeding on other people's energy to stay alive. And that's what we're seeing with the, you know, some of these forces on our planet. They require our energy to stay alive. And if we could just call our energy back, we would starve it and we would, get our energy directly from source, and we wouldn't be caught in the game becoming emotional vampires ourselves because we've lost our connection.
Do you do any practices with groups of souls that really work at that level right now? So there may be 100 people where you intentionalize and work to, be the salve or balm for that which is needing to be healed.
Yeah, I like to do all I can with that. My partner does galactivations, which is, deep energy work and, processing and bringing up, a lot of stuff, getting everybody, breathing and just focusing. On 11/11, it's an event we're doing, and somebody organized this day as being a day that 1 billion people would all be breathing at the same time with focused intention. So we're doing an event to go along with something that's already, taking place, hopefully with 1 billion worldwide. So we have our little niche so that we can gather a group of people and, breathe and focus our intentions. I'll be doing a talk, for about an hour and 15 minutes. There'll be a galactivation from my partner, Dr. Dream, and, some breath work and energy work with a friend of ours named Shama. And so, we're taking advantage of the fact that if 1 billion people, if that is the intention set to all breathe and have focused intention, we better do an event and really, step up. So any opportunity that I can take to, unify and get people, focused and working this energy, I'm all about it. Because that's really what it is. This is all about frequency and energy. And we're so powerful. And the thing is, we hand our free will over. And, the deception allows us to hand it over, because as long as we're being fooled, we gladly hand our power over. But they can't force it out of us. They just have to lie really, really well to convince us that it's a good idea. Otherwise, they really don't have any power over us unless we give it to them. And so the art of deception is what their mastery is, and that's why it's been so easy for them to capture the masses, because it's passed down generation to generation. So when we can unplug from that and really focus our intention, it does something magnificent to the collective and to our planetary body. So I encourage everybody on 11/11 to take, the day off and just really give themselves a chance to focus and breathe and just really just, put it out there. Set your intentions and empower your vision and dreams, because, we have the power to create anything we want. We're just being duped, and we're handing our power to somebody else because we believe in the lies.
Yes, and it's also been created, I think, at some point as a dynamic recoil to then spring forth at this point in time like a bud bursting. All of this pressure as a transformative.
I call them the dark teacher. I mean, I'm not here to, keep anything as an enemy or, keep duality alive. I think there's a lot to learn from the dark side, and a lot of light beings play the dark role in order to help catalyze our awakening. Some beings actually need that negative polarity in order to wake up.
Yes. Well, looking at where we are right now, just from my perspective, I just want to extend my gratitude and my heartfelt thanks to you, Laura, for being the square shooter on your multiple geometries as you see them and call them out and be a voice that carries with it great balance and earnest. And so I'm again grateful for the experience today, and want to ask you if you would like to close with a closing statement.
Well, I guess my closing statement is, here we are, it's November 2012. And I guess, the one and most important thing that I can share with anybody is just to get really excited and to really participate and to recognize, this is a co-creative process. Don't sit back and wait for something to happen. Don't expect somebody to come along and fix it all. We all need to step up and participate, really clear our beings and, really, get ourselves energetically into a prime position for transcending this dimension and getting into a higher one, which will reflect, that inner work if we choose to do it, because that's what is required. Rather than reaching for a substance or choosing the route of escapism, you know, really just to face the energy, look at it, you know, clear it, forgive it, send, just bring it into, you know, one's awareness and present time and let it go, because the most ultimate feeling that we can have is our own personal bliss and connection to spirit. And when we can give ourselves the time to really work with that and, you know, just make that happen, that's the greatest gift we can give ourselves. Nobody else can do that for us but us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Laura, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I would like to thank, on behalf of Light Transitions Radio, Laura Eisenhower for joining us today. For more information on Laura and her very timely work, please visit CosmicGaiaSophia.com. We'll have that link and others pertaining to today's show on our website, LightTransitionsRadio.com. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please visit our website or email us at comment@LightTransitionsRadio.com. Laura, have a beautiful rest of the day and wherever it leads you.
Well, thank you so much, and you do the same, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
All right. Look forward to talking with you soon.
Okay, me too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.